Welcome, investigator. Evil is on the rise. Crime is escalating. Our mission is to eliminate the crime by exposing evil, examine why it manifests, and highlight the brave souls that confront it every day. Join us as we work together to bring justice to every victim. Welcome to All Things Crime. Here's your host, Jared Bradley.
Yeah, well, I had another guest on just a few weeks ago, and he had written a book, but one of his quotes that I really liked was, you know, law enforcement is, and I'm paraphrasing here, but he said something to the effect of law enforcement is basically 90% boredom and then 10% just sheer terror. And
who was, you know, that?
His name's, oh geez, of course I'm going to forget it. Arthur.
You'll have to send that to me, but yeah, I mean, that's incredible.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's true though.
Yeah.
It is.
I'm embarrassed now. I can't remember my
Said that because I have another officer that recently wrote a book too. And okay. So I was wondering if it was the same one. I'm staring at it, but he had the similar thoughts.
Yeah.
You know,
well, the book he wrote was Deputy Know Your Rights. And it was really interesting because he was actually a business owner. He said he owned multiple businesses, but decided to become a deputy at the age of 40. And so, you know, I can imagine the difference when he is going through the academy, you know, he's right next to some, 20-year-old, you know, guys that are barely halfway through college. And yet here he is.
Anyway, yeah, I know.
It would have been an interesting experience. Yeah. Anyway, he had a lot of really, really interesting experiences and a perspective that I really appreciated about not only, you know, the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, the Second Amendment, but not only from a law enforcement perspective, but also from a civilian perspective. And it's, anyway, he was a great guest, and there's been a lot of interaction with that. But there's just, I guess the reason I'm bringing that up is there's just so many incredible officers that are out there, and they have this perspective because they're civilians too. Mm-hmm. You know, when they're not in uniform and they're not actually on duty, you know, they still have kind of a special nomenclature about them, but you know, they're not completely a civilian, but at the same time they are. And you know, when they're not actually performing their duties, then they're just like us. And but they have rights too. And that was the thing, is he was able to look at it from both the law enforcement and the civilian side and say, you know, this is how we interact and this is how we're supposed to interact. And it's not supposed to be this total confrontational all the time. And,
no.
And it's sad when it is. But that 90% boredom, you know, these guys are just driving around sitting there. Well, I'll tell you, somebody that I think would be an amazing inductee into the Hall of Fame is an officer down in LA. His name is Dion Joseph. Mm-hmm. He spent most of his career on Skid Row, and this guy, wow, boy, he is just unreal. But
the stories he always could tell.
I'm sorry.
The stories he could tell, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Well, he when I had him on the podcast, he told a few really cool stories, and well, I mean, just, I don't know if cool is the right word, but
fascinating.
Just, yeah. It's like, wow. You know, he said, well, one of the stories that he told that really sticks in my mind is, I think that was back when everybody was kind of pushing to defund the police and kind of move some of the responsibilities to like social workers. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I can tell you flat out that when some lady is whacked out on drugs, she's smeared with peanut butter, she's naked, yeah, in the middle of an intersection, swinging a pipe around, trying to hit people, and
social, you know, worker isn't going to calm that,
yeah,
down.
Yeah, there's no social worker in the history of social workers that is going to want to take care of that. So,
and why would we put untrained civilians in harm's way?
Right.
That I will never understand.
Well, I guarantee the turnover for those untrained civilians is going to be really high if that ever does happen. So
yeah,
hopefully it doesn't, because it's just moronic. But anyway, somebody officer like that, you know, he's in Skid Row for almost 25 years. And, you know, all the drug addicts and everybody down there, you know, that's probably the roughest part of LA that you can think of. And yet because he's a loving, caring person and, you know, I think he's, first of all, his arms are like this big around. He's huge. And so that, I'm sure that helps, but he's also black. But he also talks about how his own community, when he decided to become a law enforcement officer, a lot of his own friends and family, you know, basically totally abandoned him.
Yes. We had a speaker one year that had a similar experience, and he didn't fit in with his friends on the streets, and he didn't fit in with his department. And so it was like a balance he had to find as well.
Well, and so that also brings up some of the isolation that these guys experience. And, you know, they're just in a different category. They just don't really fit. You know, I liken it to, you know, some of these warriors that are coming back from war zones, you know, these military guys, some of them, you know, they're going through things that, and internal battles really themselves that, you know, they're trying to cope with what happened. You know, some of them have survivor's remorse and, you know,
well, that is our next phase of the Hall of Fame, is we want to be able to help with free and anonymous mental health care for law enforcement, because you need a trained clinician that knows what they're going through. It's totally different than, you know, a therapist for a divorce or something, you know what I mean? So that's a goal of the Hall of Fame in the future, is we want to help them get through these things and not have to worry about the cost or the stigma attached to it.
Yeah, it's fantastic. I just, the resources that these guys need, you know, like again, on the military side, the VA just doesn't do it. And they need help just so many levels above that. And I'm sure a lot of these officers, like the ones you were describing, you know, even though they're being rewarded with recognition, some of them, they may feel that, you know, survivor's remorse is real. And, you know, that officer that you were describing where, you know, he was wounded, but he was still protecting it or trying to protect at least the other officers that were there, even though some of them didn't make it. Right. And I'm sure mentally and emotionally he's going through things that nobody else can even comprehend. It's like, until you've been through it, you just don't know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, okay. So how about one more? One more. Anybody else that you can think of that really jumps out?
Oh, there's so many, but I would like to talk about kind of the local officers just for a second, just because it's a crazy story. Was last year, our Chief Trenley of Toledo Police Department, he was inducted. But he was the interim chief. The day of the event, he was announced as chief. And it's just like, that's another example of how the Hall of Fame gets it right. You know what I mean? We didn't know he was going to be chief. We were just honoring from what he did in the department beforehand. And then we have Louis Espinoza, who made it his career. And he's a local Toledo police officer. But I'm saying, when you choose this as your job, he's one of those people that worked his way up through the department, wanted to do everything he could to make the job better. His son's in law enforcement now. And then we have Derek Diggs, who's being inducted this year, and he's getting an award posthumously. But the best part of his story was he was Toledo chief here, but then he went to Fort Myers and he was chief of police there until he passed away last year. But what he did in Fort Myers is he instituted so many different programs that they have the third lowest crime rate in the entire state of Florida. So much so that they're naming a facility after him and his work. And that he will be receiving the Founders Award, because it was important to still honor people from our local area when we moved to Texas. But he's also made an impact in two different departments. And now his son's working for the Sheriff's Department. I mean, stories like that, that's incredible. Like, not only did he utilize his skills here, but then he carried it on and changed departments in Florida as well. So those are the type of stories that I'm just, it might not be the huge glamorous ones that you see on the news, but that's what people need to hear. Like, this is, there are officers out there working every day to make this country a better place and a safer place. And we need to talk about those officers.
Wow. Well, hopefully coming on here and a little more exposure on this podcast will help you guys. And I really, really appreciate you coming on and telling your story. So I want to go back again to the National LEO Hall of Fame.com, National Law Enforcement Officer Hall of Fame.com. So if anybody, you want to, first of all, please go visit the website and read all these incredible stories, but also hit that donate button and, you know, donate to the Hall of Fame, because of all the people, I mean, you think about the Baseball Hall of Fame and things like that. It's like they have just almost unlimited resources. And yet the true hero, the true heroes of our communities are these law enforcement officers. And they barely get any recognition, let alone pay. And yet they are infinitely more deserving. So please go and donate and help these guys any way that you can. So, Megan,
I appreciate it. And it's so nice to talk to someone that understands it and understands what we're doing is important. And these officers are amazing.
100% agree. So, Megan, I appreciate you coming on. And, oh, you know what? Before we end, you know what you need to do is, do you go to Crime Con?
Yeah, we missed each other in September. Oh. I didn't know I was there with Cheryl. We shared a booth.
Oh, shoot.
I know.
Were there with Cheryl?
Yeah, we shared a table.
My gosh. All right. Well, I'm going to have to get on Cheryl's case for not introducing us, for crying out
loud.
Well,
you know, she's the popular one at CrimeCon, so she was a little busy.
Oh, she's a rock star, isn't she? That's crazy.
Yes, she is.
Okay. Well, next CrimeCon, then, we will for sure meet up. So
I would love to. Thank you again for everything.
Oh, my pleasure. Okay. We will talk at you later, then.
Thanks for joining us. Your attention today brings us one step closer to exposing and eliminating the evil that brings crime to our communities. Hit subscribe and share this episode. Together, we will bring justice to every victim.